Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. It is Saturday, January the 17th here, and this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show, hosted by Mr. Mike Overson of Luminate Bank, Scott Wolmering, and myself, Ryan O'Neill, with the Minnesota Real Estate Team, RE/MAX Advantage Plus. This is a live show, a local show. We are here the entire hour, 612-294-6949. 612-294-6949 is how you can reach us. Scott, good morning to you, buddy.
Yeah, good to be here. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Like Ryan said, this is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We are live and local every Saturday at this time. We'll be here to the top of the hour. Like Ryan said, we love your questions. It's an interactive show. So 612-294-6949. And if you just type your questions in there, if you're following us on social media, or if you'd like to go live on air, you can also just call us at that number as well.
Yeah, we appreciate you being here. Always got a lot to talk about with the Minnesota real estate market. Again, 612-294-6949. Mike Overson, Luminate Bank, with us in studio. Mike, good to see you, bud.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good to see you. We had our big annual team, the Minnesota Real Estate Team holiday party last night. Scott, what'd you think, bud?
It was a good time. Lots of food, lots of fun. Obviously, gave kudos to everybody that won awards. It was a great turnout. You know, it was not the nicest night in the world to get on the road and drive, but everybody came, and a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of great awards. Mike Overson, the hardest working man in mortgage. You were absolutely with us in spirit. You were working. You were working both in mortgage and as a father last night as well.
Yep. We had, so I coach all my kids' sports. My 9-year-old has his first travel team tournament this weekend, and we had a practice last night.
Basketball.
And it went later than expected. So I couldn't make it up to the party there, because of that. But, yeah, I was definitely with you guys there in spirit, and I saw a bunch of pictures and videos on Facebook, so I kind of got to feel like I was part of it there.
Yeah, a lot of big awards. David Meyer, Madeline Brendan won the Agent of the Year, which is something that we all as team members vote on together. David, remember when he started in the business, guys, he was about 4 or 5 months in, and I still remember the phone call, and he was a brand new agent, and he's like, he was struggling. He was really struggling. And he was just like, you know, he needed something to happen. So everybody's been there. You look at that. I remember where he came from, where he's at now. So big night for him.
Paulo, I was going to say, for me, the one that stuck out, Paulo did 79 home sales. Just for no one that's ever done that or gotten, that is a clip. That is up at 4 a.m. getting home at midnight. I mean, that is a clip.
Yeah, Paulo.
It was a really good year.
Yeah, number one in transaction count. Jason Walgrave won in volume. Number one in volume. I think he did 30 million. Just a lot of great folks. A lot of hardworking people. And it was a fun night. I tried to bring a little humor. Bring a little O'Neill Brothers humor, Scott. Did it work or no?
Yep, you deliver. Well, you wore the jacket. That was funny.
Yeah,
that was funny enough on its own.
But. Hey, well, and by the way, Scott, I did give a little shout out. I said, you know, this Saturday morning radio show we're doing, I said, people just show up to hear you, Scott. You know, I said, we had a text last week. Somebody said, I listen to you guys because I just want to hear that Scott Wolmering with his next socioeconomic take. And I'm like, that's all. They're showing up for you.
That's funny. Well, last week, I was thinking socioeconomic take, because last week we were talking about how the lack of getting into a relationship affects the real estate market.
Right.
And which I thought was an interesting topic, which is true. But yeah, a lot of fun. You know, again, every week we do this. Again, we love your input, so don't be shy. Go ahead and reach out with any questions you have during the show. We'll cover it, and we like to get into the two market updates, mortgage and real estate. Maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, Mike, what do you got, bud?
Mortgages, right? So the hot news 2 weeks ago was, you know, Trump came out and said that they were going to buy mortgage-backed securities, right? So yep. Fannie and Freddie are going to do that. Initial reaction was great. Rates instantly, like the next day, went down an eighth to a quarter, right? They haven't gone down since. We just held that line, right? And so I know a lot of people were thinking that, you know, they were just expecting rates to fall quicker and fall further than what they have now.
But he hasn't actually bought them yet.
Yeah. Right? So that's the thing. So it's like, you know, news like that is great. You know, the market's going to have initial reaction, but something like that has to filter through like the economic system before it really grabs and holds. So, So don't expect the rates just to fall out of the, you know, the bottom here next week or in the next 2 weeks. Just know that it's good for the mortgage market rate. Rates should trend down kind of in a slow trickle because of that. And it should lead us into a very good spring.
Yeah, interesting. From the National Association of Realtors came out with a forecast for 2026. Guys, they're forecasting a 14% increase in existing home sales this year, 2026, 5% increase in new home sales. And they said these gains are being fueled by steady job growth, softening mortgage rates, improving overall market conditions. Home prices are projected to grow 4% this year, reflecting sustained demand, ongoing inventory constraints. Scott, what do you think?
I think that makes sense. I think that the biggest thing that the reason I think it's going to kind of blow up this year is we've talked about it on the show before. You know, during 2020, 2021-ish, when rates were at 2.7, 2.8%, there were trillions of dollars in refinancing that happened at that time. Well, if you've been sitting on a 2.7% rate for 5 years, you might want to move at this point. You might have outgrown your house. There might be other life things that come in. But my gosh, you're sitting on 2.7%. Rates were at 7, then they're at 6.25. Now they're at 6. That's a pretty big gap. But if they do drop to 5.25, you know, maybe high 4s if we're, you know, crazy lucky, that's going to get these people back in. It's not as big of a hit to be able to make their next move up. So I think there's that pent up group of people that have been like, God, we got to move, we got to buy. And then, you know, we're like, well, we don't want to get out of a 2.7% rate, but going to a 4.5 to 5.5, maybe.
Yeah, we're up against our first break here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us on WCCO, on social media as well. We stream the show every week. Again, it's 612-294-6949 is how you can reach us by phone or text. Already had some texts come in. We'll hit after the break. Don't hesitate to call us as well for those socioeconomic takes from Mr. Wolmering. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Hey, welcome back to the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. Before we dive into some comments and questions, guys, just real quick, I wanted to hit the O'Neill Foundation of Hope, a Minute of Hope this week. We've got a wonderful mother, grandmother by the name of Tracy, someone who was homeless, living in her car, unsure really about the future. We met her and were able to provide her with some resources, help her secure a security deposit on a home. Now she's settling into her new place. She's excited to support her new community, uplift her old one. Very positive person, just a wonderful human being. Met with her in person yesterday. Has just had a lot of adversity. When we talk about hardship, a lot of hardship. Just a sweetheart of a gal. It's great to meet her. Helped in a small way. And so thank you all for supporting the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. Scott, we did share a little video last night as well of my dear mother, of mom with the House of Hope as well, that we've got two families living in Bloomington. But, yeah, not a dry eye, I think, when mom came on.
Yes, yeah. Well, your mom is St. Kathy. Is your mom. And, yeah, it was a great night. And we've talked about the O'Neill Foundation of Hope. You know, if you are someone that is in the giving spirit and you're looking for a place to give where you know that it is actually going to the people that need help, this is definitely the foundation for you.
Yeah, again, we've got a lot of questions coming. We're going to get to this mortgage question in a second. It says, with the president having Fannie Mae buy those mortgage bonds, can you explain it again and have and can it have a long-term impact? So we'll dive into that, Mike. Scott, we also had some comments online that says, guys, not to get political, how are builders responding to potential delays with the ICE and potential arrests of subs? Scott, thoughts on that?
Well, it is affecting. It's affecting sheetrockers. There's a builder out of Lakeville where ICE showed up and literally all the roofers, you know, jumped off the roof and ran through the fields and got away. And so they're doing these kind of raids. I'm assuming, if you believe what is being said, is that there are typically a couple criminal backgrounds that they're going to, but then everybody else is getting wrapped up in the raid. And so it is definitely affecting. I mean, people are staying home. A lot of restaurants are empty if they're ethnic restaurants where they're not opening because they're afraid of what's going on. So it is affecting, and I think it will continue to affect because regardless of what you want to believe, roofers a lot of times are from Mexico. You know, I mean, there are a lot of times undocumented immigrants that are doing those jobs. And so they're scared, and you know, and they should be with what's going on right now.
Yeah, I was talking to just a couple partners at the party last night, people in the trades, and just some workers who are staying home, who are not coming in, you know, trying to figure out the situation. Just a terrible time, guys. I mean, it's just a terrible time. I sent out a little note to our team. I wanted to just kind of publicly support. We've got, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 agents on the team who are Latino, people of color, who do a pile of business. Yep. With a lot of people in those communities. And so it is a very, very hard time. I wanted to just send my public support to them, you know, to their families, their loved ones. Mike, it is, nobody deserves to be living in fear here in the United States.
Yeah, it's definitely a unique situation that we're in, and I imagine it's probably not going to go away quickly.
No.
Is my thought either.
I think this
is going to be hanging around for a while. So it's one of those things we'll have to adapt the best we can, obviously, and take our best foot forward from there.
Yeah, but to answer the question, there's going to be delays. I mean, I talked to a builder last night that said he can't get any of his sheetrockers to come in. They've got houses waiting to be sheetrocked. Well, whenever you have a delay on one thing, all it does is create delays on everything else because you're scheduled to have this done. Now you got to reschedule it. Then you got to reschedule the plumbers. Then you got to reschedule the painters. And so there will definitely be delays on this.
Yeah, Mike, the question about mortgages that they asked.
Yeah, so the question was, with the president having Fannie Mae buy those mortgage bonds recently, can you explain it and can it have a longer term impact? So basically what you're doing is you're increasing the supply of money, right? So it's kind of supply and demand, right? If there's an investor out there buys mortgages and they want to sell it to Fannie and Freddie, they know they got a buyer there. So basically there's just more liquidity in the market. So whenever you have more of something in any market, that typically drives prices down. And our price in this case is the interest rate, right? So more money, more liquidity in the market drives interest rates down. Will it have a long-term impact?
No,
probably not. You know, it's kind of just one of those things where it's like when the money's there and it's going to impact it. And if they stop buying those mortgage-backed securities and stuff, well, now that factor goes away and the rest of the economic factors will take over and dictate what happens with mortgage rates.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it a month ago on the show. I said people need to understand that it doesn't matter if God himself is in the White House. They have no control over housing prices going down, and they have no control over interest rates unless they were to buy mortgage-backed securities, which came out. And it is in my opinion, it is messing with the free market a little bit, and that typically does not hang on long term. It's more of a short term fix, which will give some relief, and is going to be a pile of people waiting to jump on this. And so, again, if you are a buyer right now, get active right now. Don't wait 45 days from now or 60 days from now to when these all click in, because everybody else is going to be out there hunting around for the same deals.
Yeah, 612-294-6949 is how you can reach us live here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Again, thinking of buying, selling, investing, we have a top agent on the team wherever you might be listening to the show. We always, you know, a lot of times people will ask us, you know, do you guys work a certain area or price point? Last night at the team party, we gave the award for the lowest price sale. Guess what that number was, Mike?
I'm going to guess 19,000.
10,000.
10,000.
10,000 last year. Highest price sale?
I would say it was 4.4.
It was the high threes.
High threes.
So literally any type of real estate at all. I mean, seriously, it was. And actually, Jason Walgrave won the lowest price one, the $10,000 deal. But it's
he probably won the highest price one. No, that was
Paul.
That was Paul. Yeah,
Paul Dokauer. Paul ended up winning that one. So it's but Mike, when can you? At what point can you get a mortgage? At what price point? Generally speaking.
A lot of places will have a minimum loan amount, and so there's certain rules that the government has in place too, as far as like the amount of fees to be charged. Well, the lower that loan amount is, even if you just have flat fees, right? It doesn't matter what the loan amount is. Here's our flat fees. Well, those flat fees make up a larger percentage of that lower loan amount,
yeah.
And so there, it becomes a certain point where it'll get so low where it's like we can't even legally lend you on that because of these fees, because the loan amount's so small. So we have a minimum loan amount of $75,000. $75,000 to $100,000, depending on what the situation is with the loan product there. But a lot of places are at that same point. $75,000 to $100,000 is typically the minimum.
You know, which is so weird. So I got licensed in October of 1998.
1998.
The average home sale at that time was 134.
Okay.
So think about it. So all those loans were, you know, were $75,000, $100,000. Yeah, back in those days, because yeah. that was just a normal transaction.
I was joking with Paolo last night. I said, I think it took me 6 years to sell 70, whatever.
What he sold last year?
I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, it was, it's pretty incredible. A lot of hard work by a lot of people. One other quick note, guys, before the break, I wanted to mention, we mentioned this last night kind of publicly at the team party. Again, last year we talked a little bit about the House of Hope, the Bob and Kathy O'Neill House of Hope. We are opening House of Hope number 2.
Oh no!
In 2026, so we're excited about that. We're building a little momentum here, and what we've found with this is there is a huge need, of course, huge need with housing. A lot of good people that are in a bad spot. So we're excited about House of Hope number 2 coming this year, Scott.
Where's that one going to be?
It's going to be in Bloomington. As well.
You love Bloomington.
I do like Bloomington. It was funny last night because I met a gentleman just real quick who I lived at 101st in Lyndale for, you know, forever. And I love that area. And he lives in West Bloomington, this young man. And he kind of is like, hey, it's prestigious West. Like, I'm not going to go into East. And I was just thinking, I'm like, I liked it over there. I liked 101st in Lyndale. He was all about West, prestigious West.
Was it a duplex?
Yeah, it was a duplex. Yeah,
it
was a duplex. Mike, we're already up against a break here, but do you think this year's going to be as busy or busier for you and mortgage professionals?
Absolutely. Yep. I think it'll be busy. I think the spring is going to be bonkers. I think if rates continue to trickle down, we're, you know, it's I almost like say our winter is almost like preseason football, right? Yeah. Everyone gets a chance to play, you know what I mean? And you're trying to figure out your roster and stuff like that. Like, literally, if rates go down into the mid-fives by mid-February, if that happens, we're skipping the regular season and going right to the playoffs.
Yep.
Everyone is putting their best foot forward. Not everyone gets to play at that point, you know? And so when you're buying real estate, now is your time to, like, hey, you can probably get on there. You can get a home inspection done. You might be able to go back for a second showing. All that goes away in the spring.
Yeah, I just sold a little townhouse in Lakeville, and I was trying to explain to my client, Ashley, you know, I said, we got about a 3-week window here. So it's nice. We go out, you like one, we take the parents out, we go in for a second look.
Yes.
We negotiate the price, we have closing costs rolled in. Literally 3 weeks from now, that is gone. It is sprint to the house, sprint back to home, get it written, you know, pray that the agent will take your offer, writing it $10,000 over list, just to try to get it done. It literally is that time frame. 3 weeks difference, and she would not have probably been able to get this house.
Yeah, it is interesting indeed. Already the halfway point at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. interrupt us here at any point. 612-294-6949 is how you can reach us. And by the way, just got to give a little shout out. Nice listing, Mike Hilber, who had a fantastic year last year. He's got a great listing in New Brighton, 10 Windsor Court, Scott, number 102, listed for $184,900. It is a main floor condo, two bed, two bath. It's in the desirable Birch Pond condo community, 1,051 finished square feet. It's all on one level, a designated parking in the underground garage. And there's lots of great updates throughout. Fresh paint, carpeting, luxury vinyl flooring, and there's a number of great amenities. Outdoor pool, party room, exercise room, hot tub, sauna, rentable guest suite. Again, 10 Windsor Court, number 102 in New Brighton for $184,900 by Mike Hilber, who made our top producer team trip last year. So congratulations to Mike. This is the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Welcome to the second act here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Hope your weekend's going well. Got another listing to feature. Fong Cao has one in Minneapolis, 3325 22nd Avenue South in Minneapolis for $350. He said everything's updated, move-in ready, four very nicely sized bedrooms, two full baths, beautifully updated kitchen, new flooring throughout the main floor, spacious backyard, and a great neighborhood, 3325 22nd Avenue South in Minneapolis for $350. And then Michael Lee Jenkins. Scott, she's got one in Chaska, 867 Oriole Lane in Chaska for $439. This is a updated four-bed, three-bath split, 1,540 finished square feet on the main level, total of almost $2,250. Custom solid oak Eden kitchen, granite countertops, custom tile backsplash, stainless steel appliances, hardwood floors. You got the living room and family room, both featuring stone brick fireplaces, one wood, one gas burning, large primary suite with a private three-fourths bathroom. You got a 30-foot two-level deck, cool, with pergola, facing private wooden and landscape backyard, and peaceful views of Hazeltine, of the golf course. Doing an open, actually today, Saturday, noon to 2. Again, that's 867 Oriole Lane in Chaska for $439. Michael Lee Jenkins. Scott, she was on the show with you a couple weeks ago.
Yep, she was on 2 weeks ago, did a great job, and just a great agent. She's a hoot, so if you're working with her, it'll be a pleasure.
Fun person.
Yes.
Isn't she?
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, just a super super fun person. It was great to see her last night. First year on the Minnesota real estate team. She's been an agent, broker for a long time, but just a ton of positive energy, does a great amount of business. Love Michael Lee.
Yeah, she does a super job. We were talking about some of the words that we've had through the years. We've been doing this show for 20 plus years. One of the phrases we had is equity is good. Because back in 2008, we would have people that would call in that they bought a home for $600,000 and now it's worth $250,000. And they would say, well, we don't want to sell right now because we don't want to lose our equity. And we would say, well, equity is the difference of what your home is worth and what you're walking away with. So there is no equity, and equity is good. The other thing that came in was payment shock. Back then, people were shocked. The payment shock, you said that's coming back.
Yeah. So I was reading some FHA overlays. So FHA has their certain requirements, and then there's some overlays that lenders can put in place on top of those, right? So overlays are basically just another requirement. And so I was reading through one of the investors' requirements, and that payment shock was in there. So if you were going to do a manual underwrite FHA, one of the factors was you can't have payment shock that was more than 5% of what their current housing payment is, or $100, which is less.
Huh.
Which is pretty tight, right? It's like $100 more than what they're paying. That's just not that much.
No.
But it just reminded me, because we used to talk about payment shock and stuff like that, and so it came up. I kind of chuckled a little bit, but it's still out there. It's one of those things. Well, so if you maybe had some credit issues in the past and you've been renting, let's say paying $2,000 a month, if you can show that you've paid that $2,000 a month on time for the last 12 months, and now your housing payment's going to be $2,100 or $2,200 by purchasing, Well, you showed an example and you proved that you can make a $2,000 payment. So going up to 21 or 22 should be doable for you as well, because you were able to maintain and manage that $2,000. So that payment shock is one of those things that we're seeing coming back on those FHA deals.
We've had probably 20 keywords over the years of doing this show. Another one we had was volatile.
Volatile.
What and what led to the volatility?
Oh, God, we were doing a show, it was maybe 10 years ago. And Adam Hartung, our financial guru, is talking about, and I'm sitting across the counter from Ryan.
Yes.
So Adam's like, you know, right now the market's very volatile. And then he went on to say, you know, more stuff. And I'm like, I just stopped the show and I said, Adam, you can just quit. Ryan hasn't heard a word you've said for the last 45 seconds.
That's so funny. Because
he's got 9,000 volatiles in his head. He'll be saying it all day. Oh, it's volatile. It's extremely volatile. And it was exactly it.
You know what's funny about it is I have a first cousin, a great singer, artist by the name of Billy O'Neill, very talented musician. And so he had a band called Oh My God. Well, still, you can find him on Spotify or whatever. And he's got a song called Volatile.
And so, I remember that.
So I remember we would... Yeah, it was a...
So Ryan had 9,000 volatiles running through his head all
volatile
day.
Markets. It is
volatile.
Not... I would say this market is not volatile. We have had kind of limited inventory, slow and steady price growth. Really, Mike, not a lot of volatility.
Yeah. No, that's a great point, Ryan. You make a great point. There hasn't been a lot of volatility lately, has there?
I mean, anything to follow up with that or...
Well, you know, I was thinking, I mean, to explain to people that maybe have not been in this situation before, but if you go back to 2001, which was a similar market, we had 11,000 homes. That was the lowest we had ever been at that point. And we were moving at 15 to 18% in appreciation. So one client of mine that sticks out, we were looking for a split level in Eagan, Rosemount, or Apple Valley. We were looking at $116,000 to $130,000. Okay. And he ended up buying 6 months later because everything was in multiple offers. So he was buying the exact same split level that was $116,000. And 4 months later, he bought for, it was $184,000. Same houses. So think about how frustrating that is. You're not only trying to find a house, but you continue, you see, you know, what I looked at last week for $120,000 is now $140,000. And then 2 weeks from now it's 160, and now it's 180, and it was a horrible situation to be in, and talk about payment shock.
Yeah, just a comment here from a listener says, "Hey guys, two issues: 401k and down payments. Trump wants folks to tap requirement accounts for down payments on home purchases. Mike, how much impact will that have?" And then the second one, he says, "Problem." He's hurting housing in big font already with tariffs on lumber, copper, aluminum, steel, concrete, and labor or deportation. I'm not as optimistic as your banker. Thoughts on that, guys?
Yeah, so the first one, what was the first comment there?
First one is 401k and down payments. Trump wants folks to tap retirement accounts for down payments on homes.
I think... 401k loans are completely fine. We get a lot of people that actually do a 401k loan. So you got to remember there's withdrawing money out of a retirement account, and there's doing a loan against a retirement account. Withdrawing the money out of a retirement account, now you have taxable consequences and things like that because you're taking the money out, right? But if you do a loan against it, right, the 401k account now is just the collateral on the loan. So you're not taking the money out. Your money stays in that 401k account. You're just doing a loan against it. So if I compare like the Minnesota Housing Down Payment Assistance Program versus if you're able to put your own 3% down, well, the interest rate, if you can put your own down payment down, is going to be at least 0.5% lower than if you go with the Minnesota Housing Down Payment Assistance Program. So if you're like, you know what, if I can do a $15,000 loan against my 401k and use that money so that I get a lower interest rate on my mortgage, like that makes sense to do, right? Now, if you withdraw your money from a 401k account, now you're paying 30% taxes or whatever the tax rate is on that because you're actually taking the money out. I don't see that as being advantageous because of the tax consequence there. But doing a loan against a 401k, it actually, when I see someone that has a 401k account, I bring that up and we talk about it because there are advantages.
Is any of that, so he mentioned Trump wants folks to do that. Is that related to Trump or?
No, I don't know. Has he come out and said that? I guess I haven't heard him come out and say that.
I haven't heard him say that.
I don't know either.
But the other part of that that I would disagree with is that the cost of lumber and everything is getting more expensive. That's actually gone. It's reversed because he's cutting he being Trump. They're cutting all the red tape when you build a house. So the cost of building a house with all of the
regulations.
That's going away. And then also what drove lumber prices up, you know, 4 years ago was the cost of actually transporting the lumber. And that's gone considerably down. So when I, and there's a lot of builders that listen. So if I'm speaking out of turn, please correct me. But I believe it's the reversal right now. It's actually cheaper to build a house right now. And that's why they're expecting the new construction real estate to go up by whatever it was,
5% nationally. Yeah, 5% nationally.
Yeah, so I don't know about the 401k thing. I've never heard Trump say that, but he might have. But as far as the cost of lumber and all that, that's settling back in, and it's making it more affordable, not the other way.
We did a full show once on with a couple builders about just regulations, what's required, permitting, all these different things, and how that was hurting builders and, you know, hurting the ability to build affordable housing, to build all ranges of housing. And so, definitely in talking with builders, there's way less of that happening, that cost that ultimately is it's on to the builder, but it goes to the consumer.
Yeah, and if it costs you 25% in permits and everything else to build a house, that means on a $1 million house, $250,000 of it's just garbage.
It's nothing.
It's not even going into the house. That's being removed. I shouldn't say it's being removed. It's being reduced. Yeah. And so it's more affordable now, not less.
Well, and I think too, from a consumer perspective, you know, we're always looking at this from a buyer's perspective. If you're buying a new home, you know, obviously there's some statutory warranties that are in place that the builder has to have. You can do a home inspection as well. Be sure to work with a buyer's agent to guide you through the process to ensure that you're getting a good price. Things are done correctly. So there's a lot of things as a consumer you can do because naturally when you hear no regulation, you think, wow, you know, what if I get, you know, what if it's a bad deal for me, Mike?
So correct me if I'm wrong here, too. If we look at new home warranties in Minnesota and neighboring states, I believe our warranty policies here in Minnesota far exceed neighboring states, right?
Oh, for sure.
So you hear about regulations maybe being pulled back, and it's like, well, so you have less eyes during the build phase of this thing. But you got to remember, we have very good new construction warranties in Minnesota, right, that the builders still have to abide to. So maybe some of the upfront stuff goes away, which in my opinion is good, too, because it's just money that just goes to nothing, right? And if something does come up, something is wrong, you got that warranty to fall back on. So there's still that safety net.
Yeah, it's 1 year workmanship and materials, 2 years systems warranty. And again, key systems, plumbing, electrical, heating, cooling, and then a 10-year structural warranty from the warranty date. Major structural defects resulting from non-compliance with building standards. This is the final break here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. Appreciate the questions. Different viewpoints, thoughts. We always welcome them here at the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Hey, welcome back to the final segment of the Minnesota Real Estate Show. We appreciate you joining us. We are grateful for your time. Hope you and your families are having a great weekend here thus far. Got to give a little shout out as well. We got a listing here, Scott. This one is, again, 1930 10th Street East. This one, bear with me. Actually, you know what? This is the same one that Michael Lee just sent over. My apologies. It is that 867 Oriole Lane in Chaska. Very nice home. Very nice home. She's got that open house today. Again, she's doing the open house.
12 to 2.
Yeah, 12 to 2. 12 to 2, Scott. What do you think, bud?
Yep, I would definitely go see Michael Lee. It's worth the drive just to see Michael Lee.
Yeah, she's super fun.
Yeah.
Super fun indeed. Mike, what do you got?
I just Googled mortgage interest rate forecast just to see what pulled up here. So Fannie Mae, so this is just literally right now, Fannie Mae predicted 6.2% by late 2026. Zillow 5.8% in 2026. Morgan Stanley 5.5 to 5.75. Mortgage Bankers Association 6.4 average throughout 2026. And then Chase, Chase actually thinks in 2027 rates are actually going to slide upwards.
But that was before the mortgage-backed securities.
Well,
because that was you talked about that 3 weeks ago, and the mortgage-backed securities came out last week.
Yeah, so I literally just Googled it now. So whatever,
they're updating it.
I just pulled it up now. So when I Google that mortgage rate, interest rate forecast, that's what pulled up right now. I mean,
who are you going to believe? Those experts are. I went to Bemidji.
Yeah,
yeah. I think I'm right.
So, you know, I think our market right now is very predictable. I think Scott and myself and Ryan know what this spring is going to look like.
Yeah.
We know what it's going to look like, and we know that if you take what we got basically right now in the crystal ball, and if rates do go to 5.5 or 5.25 sometime this spring, just it exponentially kind of explodes a little bit more.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I don't think it's volatile at all. I think it's predictable.
Yep.
Yeah, again, 612-294-6949. Ryan Perpich is here every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Ryan, what do you think, bud?
Is it a good time to be refinancing here? You know, I bought my home in 2023, and now I'm seeing these rates dip, and it's starting to look a little tempting now if we're going to get down, and you're saying in the fives.
What's your rate?
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
No, you can tell me. You can tell me I'm a real estate professional.
It's like 6.5.
Yeah, so yeah. You think, at what point is it about a one? I guess it depends on a lot of things.
Kind of the old rule of thumb, right, is 1% lower than where you're at, right? So 6.5, if you have a big enough loan amount, it would make sense. If your loan amount is not big enough, I would say probably hold out and let's see how this spring plays out, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So the timeline you guys are predicting, we think we could see a 5% sometime, but as where that 5% could be this year, we don't know.
Don't know. Could be spring, could be fall. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. If I was to predict it, I would say that they're probably going to start buying them about 90 days outside of the 2026 midterms to have the biggest effect right around that time. So, I have no idea, but if they're playing that game, and this is a game, you're buying mortgage-backed securities to artificially drive down interest rates. Let's just call it what it is. And so what would be the biggest bang for your buck? Maybe to have rates drop from 6% to 5.25 about 2 weeks outside of the midterm. So yeah. If I was to predict it, I'd say keep your eye on that time frame.
Yeah, again, throughout the week, again, if you're just catching part of the show here, wherever you might be in Minnesota, Western Wisconsin, we would love to help you and your family buying, selling, investing in real estate. It's going to be a good year. The last 2 years for fellow real estate agents and professionals has been a tough couple of years. Obviously, for the public, especially for buyers trying to find homes, has been incredibly hard. For agents, it's really been two of the worst historical years in number of closed transactions because of that inventory issue. But again, with those lower rates, guys, maybe we get a little more inventory. Maybe the dam starts to break a little bit. People start moving again. Some of these different things happen, Scott.
Well, yeah, when you think about this, because people are like, how could it be a tough real estate market? My neighbor's house sold in one day. My other neighbor's house had 15 offers on it. It was only on the market for 2 days. Well, that sounds good, but that actually isn't good. That means as a real estate agent, you're not carrying any inventory. You know, when I first started, you know, you'd carry 25 to 40 listings, you know, and you would get a few showings on it every 3 weeks or so. And so on. Now you don't carry anything. So you don't get calls off your listings. You don't get other buyers off your listings. And so it is a tough market, even though when you do get, you know, your pretty little pet, when you do get your client, they sell very quickly, but there's just not as much volume.
Yeah, it's so true. Mike, as we move forward here again, Luminate Bank, you guys are a local bank, paying, what is it, 3.5%?
3.5% on your normal standard savings, right? No minimum amount there. We'll pay 3.5% out on that. On our checking, we pay out 2%. I don't know any other place that pays out 2% on a checking account, but we do that as well. We also have, for 2026, we brought on a closing cost credit program. So if you are getting a mortgage with us and you open up a checking or savings account and put $2,500 in there or more, we'll give you $400 off your closing costs. If you open up an account and slide $100,000 or more in there, we'll give you $1,000 off your closing costs.
Hey, I've got a question. So talking about new construction, most builders are offering buy down rates. So like the house I just sold, the buy down rate was 3.99%. So my client bought the house. She gets a 3.99%. And the cost of that, I don't remember what it was. Let's call it $11,000. So let's say rates do drop into the fours or fives or low fives or whatever. And somebody refinances. So they do the buy down. The rates are at 3.99%, which really is a rate of 5.5%. And rates do go down and they do refinance. Do they get to recoup that money that was on the buy down?
Only if it was a temporary buy down.
So it's like a 3-2-1
buy down. Like a 3-2-1 buy down. They get to recoup that some of that money there. But if it was a permanent buy down, hey, 30-year fix, you could get a 5.5, 30-year fix today. We're going to buy your 30-year fix down to 3.99 and it's a permanent whatever. Once that closing happens, that money is paid and gone. It's you can't recoup that at all.
What if you're buying it down on a short term arm, like a 5-1 or a 7-1 arm?
Same thing. If it's a temporary buy down, there's money you can recoup. If it's a permanent buy down, you don't get to.
Guys, we've got a minute left here. I encourage you again, fellow agents, brokers that may be listening. Mike Overson and his team do a wonderful job. Luminate Bank, apply with Mike. .com. Mike, last thoughts for folks?
Enjoy the games this weekend. Not only do we have NFL playoff games, we got the college championship on Monday, which I'm very excited to watch that as well. And if you're going to be in the market to buy a home this spring, start sooner than later is my recommendation, right? You can't start too early. Get that information now. I think the sooner you get into the market and start looking, the better off you'll be.
All right, so let's get some predictions. Today, Denver versus Buffalo.
Denver.
Buffalo.
Seattle versus San Francisco.
Rye.
San Fran.
Whoa, Seattle.
Seattle. I'm Seattle.
I am too.
Hey, it's been a fun day. We appreciate you. Hope you all have a great weekend. This has been the Minnesota Real Estate Show. Throughout the week, please reach out anytime. We're here to help you and your families. Enjoy this weekend, everybody. Thank you again, and take care.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.